Welcome to Unsquish the Fish, the podcast where bloggers, writers, and Fins fans come to talk everything Miami Dolphins and bask in the glow of aqua and orange. And now, for the host of Unsquish the Fish, Ron Caniff. Fins up. Fins up. Fins up.
What's up, Dolphins fans? Another episode of Unsquish the Fish. And today we actually have some actual football that's happening that we're going to talk about. No, not games yet, not even preseason, but actual practices. We are finally here. We have gotten through the absolutely horrible drought of the offseason, and we are at training camp. This morning I had the pleasure to be at training camp, which was awesome. This show is being recorded Saturday, the first day of the padded practice, by the way. With me, my special guest is Dave Hiley, who is the host of the Blog Talk radio show Dolphin Addicts. What's going on, Dave?
Hi, guys. How y'all doing today?
I'm good, man. I'm good, and I'm excited to be talking about football and actual something going on the field that we can see or read about. Before we get started, though, Dave, why don't you tell us a little bit about how long you've been a Dolphins fan and just everything about you being a Dolphins fan, man.
Sure. Since I was 3 years old, I was brought up in South Florida. I've been a Dolphins fan since their inception, 1966. I'm an old guy. I can tell you about the perfect season. I can tell you about those players. I've met quite a few of them, and I got to tell you, that was the heyday, man. That was the awesome. During the rise of Dan Marino, I was there for that, and there at the Orange Bowl. For most of those, I'm very blessed to have had parents that took care of me and brought me to what I really loved the most. And then when they moved to Pro Player Stadium, Joe Robbie Stadium, whatever you want to call it, they all call it Sun Life. But, you know, it's sometimes it's Joe Robbie forever or Pro Player forever, forever. But I went to – but then I moved. I now live in North Florida. It's a little bit more of a trek for me. I do get down there as often as I can. And of course, when they play in the Jacksonville or Tampa area, can always count me in because I live right between those two cities. But I've been a Dolphins fan forever. Like I say, it's in my blood, literally.
That's awesome, man. And you also do the show Dolphin Addicts, the Blog Talk radio show. Tell everybody how long you've been doing it and how you kind of maybe got started in it.
Well, sure. Dolphin Addicts is a radio show on Blog Talk Radio. I came in to help a buddy of mine. It had a different name. I was helping him because he was having a hard time getting a show started a couple of years ago, actually. I came on to help him out, and then his health started going down and some other things were happening in his life, and he wasn't able to do it, and I was having a little bit of fun doing it. I was in radio once before on an actual radio station, so I was versed in that. In that kind of stuff. So I just kept it going, and it's pretty awesome. It's grown to a little bit larger than I expected, and we're having a lot of fun with it. We get to talk a lot of Dolphins football. We do it every Thursday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and invite everyone to call in anytime they want to talk Miami Dolphins football.
And you've had a few football players on even in, what, the last 3 weeks, haven't you? Had three different players, past and present, on your show?
Well, you know, I got to tell you, I listened to your show, sir, and I've enjoyed your time with Richmond Webb. Excuse me. And we had Richmond on here not long ago, we've had some of the older guys. I've had Don Nottingham. You might have heard of him from the mid-70s. In fact, they used to call him the human bowling ball. That was a pretty fun show. Walt Akins, current cornerback / safety / whatever you want to fill in the blank, defensive back, has been on the show a couple of times, actually. And he likes to keep in touch with us, and I'm very glad to say. And we had John Bach, I think, was our last guest, which was fun because Richmond Webb called in. So I had both of them on at the same time. But it was great because we had callers call in and out talk to ask their questions. And they're such willing, wonderful guests. And they're very, very accommodating. And it makes for a great show.
Awesome, dude. Awesome. Are you ready to talk about some training camp, man, and what's going on?
Absolutely. Let's talk training camp. It's about time, huh?
Let's just start with the man, Tannehill. What you reading so far, man? What are your inside sources telling you?
Well, his command of the huddle, I think it's just showing that I don't know if it's because he got paid. I don't know if he's got some new toys to play with and Kenny Stills and Jennings and of course Jarvis from last year really is right on cue for continued growth. Even Rishard Matthews is stepping up. A lot of people were talking not long ago, Ron, about Rishard Matthews being happy. But he's been looking like a stud in camp. But Ryan's accuracy, he seems calmer. He seems more patient. And as I think you're going to touch on a little bit later here when you speak, Ryan, he's getting some longer passes in, like the over 20-yard passes that are getting completed. And that's, of course, a lot of people's concern.
Mm-hmm.
Not mine so much. A lot of people, I think, were making a bigger deal out of that. But it is something that needs to be addressed. It needs to be able to – other teams need to know that is a legit fear. And it's kind of nice to see that Ryan is stepping up to the plate this year so far, at least to what we've seen in training camp.
What excited me most about – especially seeing it with my own eyes today, and I try and make a few trips, at least one – to training camp every year, and I've made a point this year of definitely going to some multiple training camps. This would be maybe the first year that I've seen Tannehill have good days, bad days. This was the first time I saw four quarterbacks on the field, and when Tannehill was on the field, he didn't need a number on. You could physically see with your own eyes who the best quarterback on the field was, and it wasn't even close. That's the first time I've seen that. And even that gap between him and Matt Moore has just spread, man. This year it has spread. Whatever he's done this offseason, I know I've been hearing he is absolutely working his tail off. It seems to be paying off because I saw a quarterback who was sharp and who was just leaps and bounds above the others. And I don't know that I could say that I've seen that in the past, that big of a gap. So that's what excited me the most.
Would you say that the gap between Matt and Moore, what do you think is what is it? What is it? Is it a different kind of command of the huddle kind of thing like I was talking about, or just the actual skill set itself?
Watching him deliver the ball, just literally watching him deliver the ball, you'd see the drills. You'd see whether it was one-on-ones or whatever it was, 7-on-7s, you'd see the other quarterbacks come in and you'd see kind of up and down passes a little off, even if they were completed a little behind. And then you'd see Tannehill come in and it was right where it needed to be. He looked like a professional quarterback, man, even more so than he has in the past.
Well, he'd better for $97 million, don't you think?
I guess so, but it just $97 million or $97, it was real exciting to see. I'm getting pumped, man. I'm getting pumped. I saw him throw some passes today that he had a very tight window to throw it into. Even if it didn't look like, to somebody who doesn't watch a little football, it didn't look like it was that hard of a pass, but you could tell, man, that was a tight window he threw it in there. And wow, it just put it right where it needed to be. Is he completing 100% of the passes? No, no quarterback does that. But he looks sharp, man. He looks sharp.
Well, let me ask you this, if you don't mind, and that is, did the O-line give him more time? I mean, that's a harder defensive line coming at him.
No, it did not.
So, okay. So that's really good kudos then for Ryan, if he was still being, still able to do, perform that well.
Yeah, we can actually, kind of come off Tannehill and we'll go to the O-line here. Obviously, right now, Albert's not playing. They got Fox, which I'm glad about. I'm glad they're not moving things around. They just got Fox sitting there at left tackle for now. You always see Billy Turner at right guard. You're always seeing James at right tackle. You're always seeing Pouncey in the center. but they are definitely rotating in and out Dallas Thomas and Jameel Douglas quite a bit. And I would say Jameel Douglas seems to be getting the edge right now on first team snaps. It's at least 50-50 right now.
Right. Well, I can tell you, sir, that I would bet a farm on Douglas being the starting right guard. I do know that the rotation has been interesting, to say the least, on that. I got some notes here that I was noticing from today's practice that you were at. Jeff Linkenbach was in a little bit.
He was at starter. I might have missed him at starter. I know I saw him in the second unit a few times. He might have gotten in there at starter.
You know what's kind of fun too is you throw a rookie in and the first thing he gets to learn against is an Ndamukong Suh kind of guy. You know, I just think that that's awesome. Last year, I think we did a fatal mistake when we moved James over to right left tackle from mm-hmm. the right. I feel strongly about this, and I was voicing this last year when it happened on the Dolphinatic show, and that is that they're taking a rookie who shined at right tackle and they're throwing him into a place he does not understand. And all that does is stunt growth at the position you'll be covering. Now, if you're just going to throw a Band-Aid in, throw in another Band-Aid, not your rookie who's trying to learn his own position, let alone the left tackle. I'm thrilled to see that he's back at right tackle and staying at right tackle through the start of training camp here. I think Fox is purely is fine to do what he had to do over there, and I'm feeling really good about that. In fact, while we're talking about this, if you don't mind, I'd like to bring up the Evan Mathis thing.
Oh yeah, that sounds like a good call.
Evan Mathis is out there, and there's a bunch of people that really would like to have him, and you know that 34-year-old lineman is asking for $4 million to come and play on a 2-year contract. And there's a lot of Dolphins foaming at the mouth, man, chomping at the bit, saying, get him, because he is a stud. There's no question. He is a stud. But I question that. I question that for a couple of reasons. One, $4 million. That's a lot of money. He had an MCL. He missed 7 games. I'm trying to do this off of memory without notes. I believe he missed 7 games last year with the MCL.
Was it last year or the year before?
I believe it was last year.
Was it?
No,
I thought it was a year before. I'm not sure, though.
Nonetheless, he's injured. He's injured. Mm-hmm. He has a significant one as well. So do you want to do that? I mean, they're doggone good. I got a problem with that. And there's a lot of people that would disagree with me on that as well.
So. I got to be honest with you. The whole offseason I was thinking, we need to do it. And then as the first couple of days of camp came along and I'm seeing the reports, I kind of just put it behind me. The second camp started, I just stopped thinking about it, really. And I didn't think about it till I saw it. And I watched the O-line play. And brother, I'm telling you, I understand that Douglas is probably going to start over Thomas, but I don't like what I'm seeing. I still see Tannehill with pressure right in his face too much. I know it's against a stronger D-line. I get that. Still, you're going to face some strong D-lines, man. You got Buffalo's D-line. You got the Jets D-line. Yeah, that Richardson's not going to be there, but you got some strong D-lines to face. The Dolphins aren't the only game in town when it comes to that. So, right. I mean, I feel like maybe it's not Mathis, but I'd be much more comfortable if they would just find another solid guard. I don't know if last year's solution getting college is. I'd like to see a one maybe little notch up from that. So for me, it doesn't have to be Mathis, but it needs to be. See, I was kind of hoping maybe we'd do Moffitt, but Moffitt went to Philly to replace Mathis.
Right.
So I was thinking maybe Jake Long might even consider just to be able to play, come and play left guard, but I don't know between him and Philbin if that would work anyway.
Right.
And it looks like he may be going to the Giants because I know he did a second visit recently. I don't know. Maybe he even signed. Or maybe he will have signed by the time people listen to this.
Right. And I know Atlanta was in the mix too. So
I'll be honest with you. After watching the O-line play with my own eyes, I'm nervous. But it was the first day of pads. And, you know, Earl Mitchell was eating him up, man. Earl Mitchell was eating Thomas up. Not even Sue. We're not even talking Sue here. Earl Mitchell had, I saw those guys. I saw even Jameel Douglas some, definitely Dallas Thomas, Jason Fox, which, again, I think Albert will play, so we should be okay there. I saw those guys on the ground too much. They were on the ground, and that's not a good sign. That's where I'm getting nervous is I just saw them on the ground too much. And too many times where Tannehill was just, he'd get the ball in shotgun and there was a guy in his face and he's having to just get rid of it or take, you know, the would-be sack in practice.
Well, I'm not going to say that I'm in the same boat as you completely. I am going to say it's been a concern since last year. And so it's been a constant concern of mine about that O-line. I've had parts of my show that on Dolphin Addicts that we would say stuff along the lines of, boy, I'll tell you what, man, Brandon Albert gets hurt and the whole O-line went down. We didn't have that depth in any way for anybody. I mean, then we take our best center and put him at guard and we take our best right tackle and put him at left tackle. And then we throw Fred Flintstone in there at right tackle for a little while.
We had Dallas Thomas playing right tackle when he can't even barely play a guard.
And it just wasn't, the setup wasn't there. I'm not quite in your camp, though, when it comes to being ultra concerned about the O-line. I'm concerned. I'm not saying I'm not concerned, but I'm not as concerned as you, because I think that now there's a different feeling in camp this year. I don't know if you've been following it online like this, but the Joe Philbin aspect thing has changed. They're changing up the schedules. They're feeding information and tactics and all that kind of stuff differently this year than they have been for the past couple of years. Joe Philbin knows he's on a ticking clock here, and he better perform or he's out of a job. I know there's a difference this year. I feel it. I see it. I know it. They're going to be okay, I think. I kind of think they're going to be okay. Do they need to bring in someone else? Yeah, because they need more. They need it for depth. And it could be, you know, an Evan Mathis type person, but not for that kind of money, in my opinion. To come in for a year or two to get Douglas up to par and up to speed and all that kind of stuff. I think if anybody goes, it will be Dallas Thomas. There's another name out there I can't remember off the top of my head that it hasn't made it off of the third team. But who cares? Erase that. It's just a matter of depth. Need some depth. That's my biggest concern, and I would say the same thing for linebackers and safeties. I don't know if you're ready to go off the O-line yet or not, but the linebacker situation too. We've got some pretty decent guys, but a little depth wouldn't hurt my feelings any. And same with the safeties. Oh, Will Davis there was on the sidelines today with some ice on his knee, I heard.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, let's jump off the O-line because we talk about it so much. Let's get into those linebackers, actually. I said going into camp, I'm a big Chris McCain fan. I like some of the things he does, but I'm not sure how much the Dolphins trust him yet.
Right.
And that is, I think I'm, it's that's bearing out to be true right now. Yes, McCain is in at starter sometimes. And even sometimes in the first snap, oh, McCain's the starter, Koa's the middle linebacker, and you know, Jenkins is there on the outside. He's steady there on the outside every time. But then all of a sudden, it only takes a snap or two where McCain's out and Shepard's in at the outside. Then all of a sudden, Shepard's in the middle and Koa's on the outside. We've seen plenty of snaps like that. So they're messing with that right now. And today when we saw some drills, we actually saw defensive line drills, and McCain was in with the D-line drill, not the linebackers.
Wow.
Yeah, because he is a pass rusher, man. He is what we would, in my opinion, and you look at his size, you look at his speed, you look at his skill set, he's going to do, he can do some of those things that we wanted Deion Jordan to do on the pass rushing end. We're just not sure about the coverage part and the, you know, being able to make sure you have everything covered and you are where you're supposed to be and doing what you're supposed to be doing. And I think that's part of why they're playing with it right now with the three of them. Koa is staying on the field. He's not coming off. Jenkins is staying on the outside, and that's not changing. What it is will it Shepherd play the middle and Koa the outside, or that reverses, or McCain coming in? I think you're going to see them settle in at middle linebacker. I don't think you'll see a lot of rotation there, but I believe that, let's say they keep Koa in the middle, you're going to see a continuous rotation of Shepherd and McCain, and then maybe they even go 3-4 and you see them both on the field. I think we're going to see some stuff like that. So I don't know that we can ink in that McCain is a starter or Shepard's a starter. They're going to be playing with that throughout the camp and even might mess with that some scheme-wise as the season goes on.
I'm 90% in that camp. I think that Koa Miti is actually stronger on the outside than he was in the middle. I like what you're talking about with McCain. I will be excited when I get to training camp in the next couple of weeks to see that. I also really like Shelby. I think Shelby's a great addition. Jenkins feeling really strong with him. He's not going anywhere. He's going to stay right where he's at on the weak side. I think my humble opinion, which is not much, but I will say this. Koa Miti, in my opinion, will do better on the strong side, linebacker side. I like McCain from what I've seen, which I have to admit has not been enough. I'd like to see more. I've heard nothing but great stuff about him, and I actually feel okay about excuse me about Shelby.
You mean Shelby? You mean Shepherd? You said Shelby, but you meant Shepherd. Okay.
I'm sorry. Yes, I
That's okay. It got me confused at first. I know what you meant now. You meant Shepherd. Okay, I got you.
I did. I'm sorry.
It's, no, it's fine.
A little brain fart there. Sorry. But yeah, I'm kind of liking that look. Again, though, with the depth.
Well, I can actually, if you mind, I'm just going to piggyback on that for a second. We see a lot of Jordan Tripp on that second unit. He's the middle linebacker on the second unit. And that's been exclusive in this camp so far. They seem very comfortable with him there, which I thought it was. I didn't know they would be that quick, but they seem comfortable there. So I thought that was just an interesting part on the depth end that you were talking about.
Well, I did see an interview with him today after practice, and he does seem like he has a different attitude, a better attitude. He's not that little rookie kid from last year anymore. He did, from what I look and feel, strong after today. Time will tell. We'll see. I wasn't really as concerned about that as much as I was on the outside, though. I'm talking about.
I got you. Well, I think you're going to see, and this is, of course, my opinion. In the last episode, I did an early 53 before the camp even started. It was more for fun, but I was trying to get it as close as I could. And I had us keeping two of the four undrafted guys. I had us keeping Vigil and, now I drew a blank. Vigil and Luke. Luke. And I had us keeping those two guys out of the four and had us keeping seven or eight linebackers. I don't actually have it in front of me right now. I had us keeping seven or eight linebackers, and a lot of that is for special teams. So I think they're going to keep a lot of linebackers. You also have Paysinger in there as well to provide somebody with a little bit of experience as well. But whatever they do with depth, it's going to be a lot of young guys. So, I mean, that's our youngest unit. It's young.
We also have Mike Huff, who's
Mike Hull. Mike Hull.
Hull. What did I say?
Yeah, I don't see him making the team. I got to be honest with you.
I don't either. But I'm just saying he's another one there that's a possibility, but I like you're saying, I don't think so. Barring injuries, of course.
Mm-hmm. another thing, and we'll go away from the linebacker, another thing that I'm nervous about, when we got Bryce McCain, I've really felt the whole time that he was a nickel guy. That's what he's played. That's what he's there for. But it's looking more and more like they're putting him on the outside and putting Jamar Taylor at the nickel. I don't know if I love it. If it's the best for our team, then it's the best for our team. But I'd rather the nickel guy play the nickel guy and somebody step up and get that outside boundary. I just don't think Jamar Taylor's getting it. Not that he's not trying, but that he's really taking over that boundary spot, and that they're trying McCain more and more because he has Bryce McCain, not Bobby or Chris. Too many McCains. But it just seems more and more that that might be the way they're going to go. Let's see what happens when the first preseason game comes. That's when they have to, a few days before the preseason, obviously, we know they have to put out some kind of depth chart, even if it's not finished yet. It's not over.
You know, Ryan, that's another thing, too. We brought in a bunch of defensive backs back there. We brought in Zach Bowman. Mm-hmm. We got that rookie kid that was a wide receiver that's trying to be, what's his name?
Lippitt got a lot of play today in the first padded practice because of Davis not playing.
Right.
So you saw him on the second unit.
Right. Walt Akins, of course, is still out there. Don Jones is still here, too.
He's not playing right now, though, because he also injured himself last year. He was one of the litany of DBs that blew their knees out last year.
How many DBs do we keep? I mean, I don't know if I can do a quick count here, but 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I had us keeping 6 myself for the 53. That's what I wrote down.
There's 11 out on the squad right now. So that means we've got to cut 5. You know, Grimes will be there. Taylor's looking like he's going to be there. Of course, Rashad Jones.
I think I had us just keeping 6 cornerbacks and 4 safeties, 10 total. That's what I have.
Really?
Yeah, I have us keeping at safety. I mean, I really wish I should have that in front of me, but I don't right now. Actually, you know what? I am going to reach over here. Hold on 1 second. I do have it. Here we go. Oh, see, now I can actually speak like I know something.
Hey!
Instead of just pretending, now I can sound like I do, even though I'm still pretending. All right, here we go. So at cornerback, this is what I had us keeping. Grimes, okay. Taylor, Bobby McCain, Bryce McCain, Bowman, and Lippitt. And not Davis. And this was before I knew that the injury was bad, so I might have cursed the guy. I'm sorry, Will. Because I think he's such an awesome guy, and I was really rooting for him. But when I did this, it just didn't come out to be that way. And at safety, Delmas Jones, Akins, and Thomas. That's what I had. So that's 10 total. And again, I mean, I don't want to beat up what I talked about 100 times last show, but a lot of that 6 cornerbacks is because of special teams play. Cornerbacks and linebackers are just... they're key in special teams. So if you want to have good special teams, you need lots of linebackers and lots of cornerbacks, or you're going to struggle. So that's the reason why. So I kind of had Davis the odd man out on that one. And then there's a few random names in there of people I have never heard of in my life. Like today, when this third and fourth unit comes out and you're like, somebody throws it to somebody and tackled by someone, and you don't know who any of those players are. I mean, those are just camp guys. I hate to say it, unless somebody really comes out of nowhere, they are camp guys.
Right.
But that's what I have. And I know it was early for a 53, so most people, including yourself, I'm sure you probably haven't even sat down to put pen to paper on that, but I just did it for fun.
I'm doing it off the top of my head, but I really don't have that kind of stuff laying in front of me. So, but I everybody thinks about it. Who's going to take a, when the first game comes around, who's going to be on the field? You do think about it. Of course. And you wish nothing but the best for these guys that are struggling, fighting for a job and stuff. So.
Oh, yeah, I know. I feel bad for all of them because they all work harder at, especially at athletics than I do. I work hard at eating some cheeseburgers. That's what I work hard at.
That's how I keep my boyish figure myself.
That's how I keep my arm strong right there. Yep, just bringing the cheeseburger up to my mouth. Yep. Absolutely. But anyway, so I'm not one to talk about somebody's good, somebody's bad, but... as semi-amateur analysts, I guess it's just fun to play around.
Yeah, that's what we do.
Just to go back to it a little bit, though, on the whole Bryce McCain on the boundary, Taylor in the nickel, I really wish it could work out the other way if we could. They could trust Taylor enough, but it's still very early. I mean, it's very early, but let's see. Let's just see what happens. Let's get into some preseason games.
Ron, it's a nice problem to have because they're both doing well. you ask me.
I hope that's the case. I hope it's because Taylor's doing well, but I kind of feel like if Taylor was doing well, he'd be on the outside. I don't know. It might be a hard position to judge sometimes, because if they're a ghost and you don't see their name called, that could be a good thing. That could be because they're not getting thrown at and nobody's because their man's covered. It could be that. So let's see.
Completed a whole week of practice yet?
No, they haven't. They haven't. They're still experimenting and playing around.
Calm down. Cool off. You got it'll be okay. Don't know what you're going to see tomorrow. Okay, you know, I'm just saying it. I would not be throwing all your opinions out there, thinking that they're golden. They're not yet, because they don't know. Because there's no way you can know, because they don't know. There's no. Yeah, and you don't know what the coaches are saying.
I have a way that they can know. You know how?
Yes.
Yeah, they just ask me and you.
There you go.
And then they'll know. Just ask me. I'm right here. Then they're gonna know. Just take my 53, man. This is it. We don't need preseason. It's done. Let's start the season. Just start to take these guys right here. I'm just kidding.
Hey, by the way, while we're still on that, I want to scoot up to the D line just for a second and talk about Fede.
Terrence Fede. Yeah,
he's been doing well when Cam and Vernon come off. I mean, he's been stepping in really nicely. I'm liking what I'm seeing with Terrence Fede.
I got the pleasure of him being pretty much right up almost against the fence today in some, might have been some 7-on-7s or something that was closer to my side of the field. And I tweeted out, that is a big dude. I did not realize how big he was. I had never really noticed him live. Obviously, I saw him last year, but I must have not noticed. That's a big guy. He is huge, man. Especially for a defensive end, he almost looks more like a tackle. Like, he looks bigger than the tackles.
Yes, but he's fast. He can boogie. I'm going to put a shameless plug out there for you and me. And I mean shameless. But you and I, we live a couple of hundred miles apart. But you and I are going to be joining up together for a special time to go down to a training camp. And we might be able to get on the field there a little bit, and as our little reporter selves are, and get a couple of one-on-ones with a couple of those guys.
Yeah, I'm not sure how you pulled this off, but I'm excited about it. I know that.
You know, and you got to look as good as me. So, you know, I get to bring someone that maybe isn't quite as good looking as me, but you know, you fit the bill. So I I'm totally excited about that. But my point of bringing that up at this point of your show, sir, is you brought up the size of Fede. I think maybe just as surprised when you walk up to say Brent Grimes and look down on him. He's a little guy.
Yeah.
And others. And if you haven't before, it's going to be fun. So it's just amazing when you can have someone like a Brent Grimes, who's 5 foot nothing. What is he, 10? 5'10"?
Maybe. 5'9". I think he's really 5'9 or 5'8", honestly. He's like my height.
And he can leap up Alvin Johnson like he did last year against Detroit. Mm-hmm. In Detroit, by the way. And leap up and intercept that ball. You're just in shock and awe of how he can do that. And then you have the Jordan Camerons out there, that he's a big tall boy. Can you imagine if he could jump at the same skill level as a Brent Grimes? That would be just, oh my God.
that would be pretty cool. But Brent Grimes, he definitely has some skills, man. He showed that even today. It looked like Landry was pretty much just open, little just set it in. Tannehill rifles it in 100% on target, and Grimes just makes the nicest play right on the ball. His jersey doesn't even just touch Landry's jersey. Just makes the perfect play, man. Just the kind of plays we've seen him make over and over again the last couple of years he's been with us.
Jarvis Landry, he's been doing a lot of filming with this one-handed catch thing. What do you make of that? Other than it's amazing. Of course it's amazing, but But, you know, when you're in a game situation, okay, now his buddy from LSU there, Odell Beckham Jr.,
yes,
he made that catch, and everybody knows the catch I'm talking about, for the Giants. And that was basically Eli overthrowing him to begin with. And, but it stretched out OBJ, and he caught that ball, and he's on the cover of Sports Illustrated and any other sports magazine you can think of forever. Okay, that's wonderful. Isn't that terrific? He and Jarvis Landry went to college, same school, mm-hmm. and they used to practice that over and over again. Isn't that terrific? Okay. Now, Jarvis Landry gets interviewed. And one of the – in fact, I think it was Greg, it was either Greg Likens or Kenjemi or one of those guys from the Finsiders, asked him the question, said, so what's up with the one-handed catches? I mean, it's not like that's going to happen in every game or anything like that. Why is that? Why is that? Now, before I tell you his answer, I want to hear yours, Ron. I want to hear your answer. Why do you think Jarvis Landry is so not so concerned, but really working on making sure that he's got that one-handed catch down?
I would think it's a couple things. I think it could be just like a mental focus exercise. To catch it one-handed, you have to be 100% absolutely focused on the ball and nothing else. That could be some of it. And I like to see a receiver catch the ball with his hands and bring it in, not catch it with his body. And that's what I liked about Landry before when I saw, and again, it was highlights because highlights are all the good plays. But when I saw the highlight reel of him when we first drafted him and I started getting excited about him before rookie camp even started last year, just watching him pluck that ball out and not necessarily with one hand. So I imagine there's something else you're about to tell me because I didn't see the or hear the interview. But in my mind, I'm thinking that might be some of why he practices on that.
It's pretty good. And I guess it goes in line with what his answer was I think it was John Kajemi. And his answer was because it needs to be, and he focused on the words needs to be, second nature. It needs to be a habit. It has to be, if I can't get two hands on the ball, I have to get one hand on the ball. And it ain't about smacking that thing down. It's a matter of catching it. They pay me to catch the ball. And I'm going to catch the ball.
Muscle memory. Just muscle memory. So he doesn't have to think about it. Like a focus thing. I guess it kind of goes into it.
He used the word. So, yeah. So your answer is pretty spot on there, buddy. That's exactly his mindset. And it has to be just a natural response. He's not going out of his way just to catch one-handed. Okay. He's not trying to be a stud highlight reel maker. But he's working on that so he doesn't drop balls. And I liked that answer. It wasn't about, being flashy. It wasn't about anything like that. The guy's actually pretty humble. So I liked that. I thought that was pretty cool.
I will say that just with my own eyeballs watching camp, Jarvis Landry is Tannehill's favorite target. And I know that we're going to get in Parker, Stills will get in more. We're going to do different things, but I'm telling you right now, Jarvis Landry will catch the most balls for the Dolphins this year, and I have absolutely zero doubt on that. Favorite guy, and it's not just short. I'm seeing it 15 yards. I'm seeing it 25 yards downfield, rifling it in. He likes Landry, man. He likes him some Landry.
As a rookie, he got 84?
It was 80-something. Yeah, it was 80-something catches.
And remember who was on the field with him. You know, Wallace, who's supposed to be the fastest guy in the NFL, which we all know what happened with him. And you had Brian Hartline, who was Ryan Tannehill's go-to guy the year before. Okay. You had Gibson, who obviously he was hurt in the middle of the year and now gone to New England. But there was a lot of people on that team. There's a bunch of receivers on that squad. And Jarvis Landry caught 80-something balls. I want to say 84.
Yeah, and pretty sure it was 50-plus in the second half of the season. If you took his second-half season numbers and made them for a whole season, I think it'll be closer to that. I think he catches 100 balls. So I think, for my opinion, it's going to be right around 100 balls, around 1,000 yards, and probably 7 to 8 touchdowns. I don't think he's a big touchdown guy this year, which is nice.
I, I think it'll back off on the touchdowns because of Jordan Cameron. I think it, when they have that tight inside the 20 kind of set up, I think that the big tall guy is going to be getting 10 touchdowns, 12 touchdowns this year.
Well, that's a perfect segue. So you mentioned some guy, I don't know, Jordan Cameron. Who is this, a player that we have on the team right now?
Jordan,
I haven't heard of this guy in the last 3 days.
I'm old. I can do that. You correcting me just makes you look bad.
No. Jordan Cameron. I'm making a joke, man. You got it right. The thing is, that guy is a ghost right now, and I couldn't figure out why. Now, a couple people, I tweeted it out, man, Jordan Cameron, I just didn't even see that guy on the field today. I think I saw one pass and some throw into air kind of thing today in a drill to open it up. And beyond that, I didn't even know that guy was on the field. I literally didn't see him catch a pass in any 7-on-7s, 11-on-11s. Maybe I have that wrong. I didn't see him catch a pass. But a couple people – I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I pretty was out on the field, but not doing much. They were really working on Deion Sims, which thrills me because I love me some Deion Sims. I think that he was underrated maybe last year because we had Clay. When he stepped in with Clay, Deion Sims was the man. He wasn't just like the tight end. He was a good tight end. Mm-hmm. He was up the court, man. He was doing his job. Now you've got a big tall guy on the other side. I can't wait to tight end bet on a regular basis with these guys. I think it's going to be awesome. I really do.
Yeah.
And as far as Cameron not being there on the first day of practice, I wouldn't be too concerned because I do know that he's been very active in just plain drills and one-on-ones, kind of working it out kind of thing. I don't know if he's just and I hope it's something simple, like he's just a little nervous about making sure that his leg's okay still and all that kind of stuff. I'm not that concerned. I think he'll be a Pro Bowl tight end by midseason. I really do.
Well, a couple of things that people tweeted me, because I don't want to take credit for other people's thoughts, and I'm sorry I didn't write down the Twitter handles of who did, but one person tweeted me that, you know, with the concussion issues he's had, maybe they're just trying to kind of back off on the contact with him. Why do that? That could be one reason. The other one made more sense to me. He's a red zone threat guy, and we really haven't seen red zone in the first padded practice. There was no red zone work, absolutely none. In fact, they really only drove where they were actually did a physical drive where they were moving the ball downfield one time, I believe. And the rest, they stayed in one back end zone and just ran plays and then lined back right up where the ball was before. And even when they were driving, they were playing with downs and distances. It wasn't actually a realistic drive like in a scrimmage situation. So I believe once maybe some red zone stuff happens, I want to see Cameron in there. I want to see him active. Because that's really what we brought him in for. I could care less if he catches a pass from the 20 to the 20. We need to get better in the red zone, and he's one of the people we brought in to make that happen.
I got a question for you, Ron. You were there today, and I didn't really hear or see or read anything about, and I don't normally bring this up at all because it's not exactly a flashy position, but I'm curious about the kickers. Caleb Sturgis, and you got Franks out there. Now, Caleb's kind of been letting us down. And this kid Franks is supposed to be halfway decent and kicking them hard. Did you see any of that at practice?
I saw absolutely nothing today. I don't even know if the kickers were kicking balls. And if they were, it was on the far side of the field, and I wasn't watching. They did some special teams work on the close side of the field, but they were using the jug machine. They didn't even have the kickers kick.
Oh, wow.
So I saw very little special teams work, and what I did see didn't involve the kickers. They may have been punting and kicking the balls on the other side. I would have thought I'd noticed it once or twice. Didn't notice it at all. Yeah, I didn't even see. So, and I know I'd heard, though, that Franks was looking pretty good, that he had some nice pop off the ball the second day of practice, maybe the first two. Heard he wasn't great in minicamp. He wasn't looking good. So I'd like to see Sturgis get some competition, though. I'm not saying I hate him or anything. I just want to see him get some competition. I'd like to see that a real competition at kicker, my opinion.
There's a joke on the Dolphin Addicts radio show that I'm in love with Caleb Sturgis. Daniel Burke, who is the founder and the main dude on the Finnsiders.
The Finnstones?
Stones, excuse me. I'm old. On the Finnstones, he's a regular caller, and he teases me a lot because Caleb Sturgis is a Gator, and I live Gainesville, Florida, and home of the Gators, and he and Pouncey, of course, came from the University of Florida, and in fact, we didn't talk about running backs, but Mike Golisley, who probably will not make the team this year, are all Gators, but it's a big joke that I'm in love with Caleb Sturgis. In fact, it was a picture I took with Caleb last year at training camp that I posted, and Daniel reminds me on a regular basis, especially after he misses a field goal that costs us a game against certain teams like Green Bay and Denver. So I have a little bit of an interest in that little kicker spot because and not that I'm so in love with Caleb Sturgis or anything, but I have a vested interest to save face in front of Daniel Burke.
It's interesting that you just mentioned something about running backs. I forgot to note it down, and I just noted it down as you were talking when you said running backs. Man, Damian Williams looked real good today. Good. I mean, they put the pads on, and that guy showed up, and he catches, and he runs. He looked great.
I thought he looked good last year. I really did. We didn't see that much of him, obviously, but when he was out there, I thought he warranted some more work than what he got.
Right now, if you had to put a depth chart together, if the Dolphins had to put a depth chart together, it goes Miller, Williams, Ajayi.
Wow.
And I don't even really think Ajayi is that close to Williams right now. That's the truth. That's just the truth.
Did you see a lot of work for Ajayi?
Not much. And what I did, I didn't see him do anything. And that's been the story in camp and in minicamp. And in OTAs, like that theme has continued on, and I'm excited about Ajayi, and so I'm curious to see what happens when the games actually happen, because that's real hitting, even though they're padded. The real hitting hasn't happened until preseason happens, but so we'll see. I mean, I'm not saying I'm down on Ajayi; he's done. I'm just telling you what I see with my eyes and what we obviously all hear reported that I'm seeing Williams ahead of Ajayi right now. And here's the thing about Miller today showed again that he can run, but man, I don't know if he caught a pass today that he didn't, like he got it thrown to him, but he dropped again. It seems like more than he caught.
And Day three of the first week of training camp.
Oh no, but that's a theme with Miller. That's fine if you say that, but when you did it last year too and the year before, and you've shown that you have stone hands continuously, you come out of an off season where you think you're working on it and then you keep doing it. I don't care if it's day three or day 33. That's a trend there. That's not just a kind of thing that won't happen again. I mean, what are your thoughts on Miller catching the ball?
I would agree. He drops more than he should, and he should work on that. And maybe that's what day three of training camp is going to start working on. That's my opinion. I think that he's going to do nothing but get better. He'll have 1,400 yards maybe this year, I think. I really do.
Oh, yeah. I think he's a great running back. And I'm not sitting here saying, oh, it's Williams. He's the starter. No, I'm not. Let's not freak out. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I'd like to see Miller catch the ball a little bit more. And I saw that. I did see that Williams can catch the ball. I saw that today.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Even a little deeper down the field. Not deep, like 30 yards. But I think I saw a pass or two that went at the 8 to 10 yard distance or so from Tannehill to him, and he was in there with a one some. He was in there with a one some.
I went down there to training camp last year, and I was down there with my son, and I ran into him at of all places, the Hard Rock Cafe down there in Hollywood. I actually ran into Lamar Miller. I went, oh wow! I went and asked him a question. I said, work ethic. Tell me. I mean, I know you're going to tell me it's great. I get that, but I want to know specifics about your work ethic. He goes, he said he runs and he hits things. He runs and he hits things. I go, and I asked him about catching the ball, and he didn't answer me. So
I don't think he liked that question, Dave.
Exactly. And so I think you're onto something, Ron. That's what they're working on. And when you work on it and you're not that great at it to begin with, you're going to drop balls. So I wouldn't get nervous yet. It's welcome to training camp.
It's three years in for him. I don't think he's very good at catching the ball. I'm not saying, and he wasn't last year, and he was still a very good running back for us. So right. I'm not saying we're really requiring him to do a lot of that. It would just be nice if we could rely on him a little bit more to catch 4-yard passes. That's all I'm saying. So you're right. It's day three of training camp. So you know what? Get on that jug gun. Do me that favor there, Miller.
You've made that clear, Ron. You've made that clear.
Okay, I'm not going to beat up on the guy anymore. But I don't know if I'm brave enough to run up to him and say, hey, I got to ask you some questions about your catching. But, you know, I'd rather do it when I'm really far away from him.
I tell you, he's a really nice guy.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, I believe that. I believe that. I wanted to, and I don't want Dolphins fan, please, Dolphins fan, do not, like, lance me for saying this. I am not a superstitious, like, you can't say that or it's going to happen. Every year somebody comes in to camp and it's a situation where it's always the injuries you know about, right, Dave? We knew about Albert. We knew about Parker. We knew about Jones. We knew about even Will Davis. And then all of a sudden people come into camp and you're like, what? Why is this guy not practicing? Why is he not participating? Why is he not playing? And that didn't happen this year, man. And I was so happy about that. That's the first year I've seen where there was no, like, surprise, this guy's got a hamstring injury that has not I am stoked about it. Stoked nobody went out and hurt themselves in the off season.
Didn't blow off any fingers. Is that what you're saying?
Even working out or something, you know, training.
With hindsight being 2020, you can almost see now the Deion Jordan thing a little bit clearer, can't you? I mean, the PEDs, the off field issues, hurt him physically. He had issues himself physically for some of the things that he was doing off the field. But that's the kind of stuff that you don't hear about until way after the fact.
Yeah,
so,
that's true.
And that's what I'm talking about when I was saying earlier in your show, excuse me, about a different feeling, a different aura about training camp this year.
I agree.
There's a different vibe. And now I'm not saying that I didn't have a similar vibe last year, that I was stoked. I was excited that there was new stuff going on. It was going to be Wallace's second year and he was going to catch balls. And I was all excited. I'm not going to lie. I was all excited. I was stoked. Oh, yeah, this is awesome. This is going to be great. We're going nowhere but up and da 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 da. But this year is different, and I'll tell you why. It's because it sounds like, it feels like, and tell me if I'm wrong, Ron, but it feels like it's starting higher. Like it's starting at Stephen Ross this time and not just because you're hearing exciting things on the field. Mike Wallace can run like a crazy man. Stuff, you know, Mike Wallace looking privately one-on-one to see, you know, work on the long ball and, you know, this, that, and the other thing. I'm not hearing that. I'm hearing positive vibe. If I hear anything that's focused, it's all about the Dominican Sioux.
Yes.
So, you know, but that's all good because it's helping Pouncey. It's helping. He took Phillip underneath his wings there, and he's he's showing him the ropes. The rookies, Phillip, whatever it is.
Yes, Jordan Phillips, correct.
Me and names, I stink, man. I've been married 30 years, Ron, and I still can't remember my wife's name sometimes. I swear to God, I'm horrible. Anyway, the point being, it's a different feeling. It's exciting, yes, but it's always exciting because it's Dolphins football.
Yeah.
It's slightly different, though. It's different. Like, there's more of a I don't know, trust factor, maybe a confidence factor, maybe. You know what Cameron Wake could do, but he couldn't do it by himself last year. You know what Vernon can do, but he couldn't. The reason why they couldn't, the rest of the puzzle wasn't working exactly right.
Understood. Yeah. I get what you're saying. I do feel that. I feel like it's kind of like two phases of the team, and you see that Ross has definitely always been willing to go and do whatever he feels is what he needs to do to try and win. We may not have always agreed with it, whether that's just write the checks or try and figure out what the operations of his team looks like, and which he has struggled to figure out. But guess what? He nailed it. We got rid of Ireland and brought in Hickey. That was part of the puzzle. But then I didn't understand when he brought in Tannenbaum. I'm like, I don't understand. What are we doing? We're continuously rotating in and out this Aponte. It's Ireland. It's Parcells. I never could understand the hierarchy of this team. And this year, it just all made sense to me. All the roles of those individuals seem to have their place of what Hickey was doing and what he was best at, what Tannenbaum was doing, what he was best at, all seem to, and also allow Philbin to just 1,000% focus on coaching Hickey and Tannenbaum, getting what he needs to make the team better. There's that end of it. And then there's the field end. And when your quarterback is one of the best players on your team, and he comes out and he's on offense and he's showing you this is how it's done, and this is how it's done every time, and that's what I'm seeing right now, that's when a team's going to have success. And that's what we've got right now, in my opinion.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And they're gelling. You know, it's just not that Tannenbaum is the greatest, dude ever. And it's not that Hickey is even though I'm a huge Hickey fan, I think Hickey can almost do no wrong. He's the godsend of the last 2 years. Marino being part of this.
He was there today. That's actually the closest I've ever been to Marino in my life. I'm sure you've probably been closer, but I've never met him. But was the closest I got to him was today. It was the other side of the field, but I saw him.
He's a huge part of what is going on with Ryan Tannehill, and that's a huge part of his growth and so on and so forth. And you know, it's mixing well. It's gelling, it's turning me on. It is turning me on.
Yeah, I'm getting pumped, man. I'm getting pumped for the season, for sure. I can't wait till we get to the games. I just ain't ready for the preseason game. See what that looks like. I'm ready for it.
You know what, too, and yeah, I'm gonna be able to get to a couple of those as well. I'm gonna get to the Atlanta game. I'm gonna get to the Bills game. First time in many years, I went ahead and got season tickets for myself, and I haven't done that in many years because of where I live. But I went ahead and did it this year. I'm psyched because I don't think it's just the team and just the hierarchy, but it's the city is buzzing a little bit. The new stadium has a lot to do with that. And I'll tell you this: I think that there's a lot to say about how the team reacts, okay, when you have a new stadium, when you see things going on around you that are doing nothing but elevating you and your play to that level. I mean, and it's not just Dan Marino being on the field, but it's everything. When you have a new stadium where all the orange seats are gone and they're not blinding you when they're empty, okay. When you're on the field, okay, that's going to be huge. That's a lot bigger than a lot of people, okay? Mm-hmm. I know, silly, the color of a chair, aqua chair. Guess what? That you're going to, those chairs go away when they're not blinding you.
How empty the stadium is, even though I think the stadiums will be much less empty this year, my opinion.
Well, I know it will be because they took out 11,000 seats.
I wasn't really just referring to that. I was thinking that we would actually have more fans at the stadium.
I understand.
Now that was a good point though. I didn't think about that. I saw people today actually brought their seat. People there were season ticket holders that had brought their seat they had gotten to have signed by players.
Right. Yeah.
It sounds like what's your dog's name? Zonka? Sounds like Zonka's excited back there.
I got Zonka and I got Charlie in the background, so I'm sorry about that. I got some unexpected company, so I apologize for that.
No problem. Don't worry about it.
Okay, but yeah, the feeling for the team in general is pretty awesome. I'm pretty excited about it. I think we have a lot to look forward to, and I'm excited. I get to meet up with a bunch of the crazy fans too. That's always fun.
Yeah, definitely, man. Anything more you'd like to say about your show, Dolphinatics? So how people can listen and how they get there, website, Twitter handle, Facebook group, all that fun stuff?
All of the above, at Dolphinatics on Twitter. We have a group page that we take lots of questions on Facebook, Dolphinatics, of course. I like to say that it's your show. Okay, it's not Dave's show. It's not, you know, we have Justin and Hez and others that join in and help regularly. Thank goodness, because I can't do it alone. But we're there every Thursday at 6:30. It's a live show, but we're working on making it podcastable. In fact, I'll be begging Ron's help. Help me make it podcastable. I'm technically challenged, ladies and gentlemen, and I need all the help I can get. The show's live, and you can listen to it. I usually post it on the Facebook page, the group page, so you can listen to that show at any time. It starts at 6:30 p.m., but it goes till 8, so or 8:30. We have guests and such to call in, and you can ask questions to players of current or alum. And we have roundtables and such. Ron, I want to tell you that you're invited anytime. Please join us, and when you can. I know that it's difficult with life, work, family, but if you can break away, you're always invited. And of course, your listeners as well, they can join us. They get the phone number and stuff from the group page Dolphinatics on Facebook.
That's Dolphinatics with an F, Dolphinatics.
That's correct. Just look for that guy in the picture. That would be me.
All right, man. Sweet. All right, time for my shameless plugs. I first off want to start by saying I am on a new podcast. It is not my podcast. It is hosted and produced by the famous Pod Vader. For anybody who has listened to any ESPN sports podcast over the past 10 years, Pod Vader has produced many of them, including Football Today and the award-winning Fantasy Focus, which has actually gone through a total format change. He now actually works for Blog Talk Radio. And they do a podcast called Next Fan Up. And by just pure luck and the most amazing timing in the world, their Dolphins fan dropped out. And he asked me if I would like to be the Dolphins person. So, of course, I said yes to Pod Vader. So I want to thank him for letting me be on there. Again, that is called Next Fan Up. You can hear that at blogtalkradio.com/NextFanUp. Or go to the Twitter. It's NFU Podcast. And you can find it in iTunes and Stitcher as well under Next Fan Up. And I will be making an appearance here and there when it is suitable to speak about the Dolphins. So hopefully the more we win, the more I get to be on it. So that should be fun. As far as for my own show on Twitter, I'm at UnsquishTheFish, where I'm extremely active, always tweeting. And if you follow me, you can message me, what have you. I always speak back, answer. I never ignore anybody unless... it's 3 a.m. or something. If you want to email the show, which not very many people email, most people go to the Twitter, but you can at unsquishthefish@gmail.com. And I do have a Facebook like page. Of course, it's Unsquish the Fish. I appreciate everybody listening, and have a great day.